You've been in the room. You know exactly what I mean. It's a birthday party, or a work gathering, or the reunion you drove 2 hours to get to. The room is full. People are laughing. And you are standing near the wall with a drink you don't really want, watching the center of the room like it belongs to a different species. The people in the middle. You know some of their names, you've talked to some of them, maybe you've even known them for years, and still, somehow, they seem woven together in a way that you are not. Like there's a knot you missed. And here's the thought that comes for you on the drive home, the one that sits in your chest and won't leave. What do they have that I don't? Because from the outside, the people in the center don't seem smarter, or warmer, or more interesting. They're not all outgoing. Some of them are quiet. Some of them, honestly, you like better than the ones who are always talking. So, it's not that. It's something else. And this whole final episode is about that something else. Because the data has a real answer, and it is not the one you've been quietly afraid of. The thought most people land on, alone on that drive home, is some version of this. There's something off about me. I'm not likable enough, not easy enough, not fun enough. I missed whatever invisible thing everyone else learned. And if that's what you believe, you've stopped looking for the real answer. Because you've decided the real answer is you. Here's what's interesting, though. Go find people who actually study this. Not the advice column version, not the you just need to put yourself out there's version, the actual researchers who spend years tracking how bonds form and fall apart. What they keep finding is not that the people with deep circles are a different type of person, they're not more charming. They don't score differently on any of the usual personality measures. What they have is different behavior, practiced over time. Specifically, two kinds of behavior that the people with thin circles almost never do. That's the whole gap. Not who you are. What you keep doing or keep not doing. And those two behaviors are not hard to understand. They're just things nobody ever told you in plain language. The first behavior is self-disclosure. Not dumping everything on someone at once. Not sharing your whole history on a first coffee. Just opening up, a little, over time, and letting the other person do the same. Back and forth, each person going a notch deeper than the last round. Research teams have run studies where they take two complete strangers, sit them down, and have them trade questions that start easy and get gradually more personal. By the end of about 45 minutes, those strangers reliably feel closer to each other than most people feel after months of casual contact. The specific questions don't matter that much. What matters is the back and forth shape. I open up a little, you open up a little, I go a bit further, you go a bit further. Because what that does is build something real between two people, one traded piece at a time. And the people with strong circles do this on purpose. Not in a lab, just in actual life. They ask the real question instead of the safe one. They say the honest thing instead of the smooth thing. They make a small opening and they wait. That habit, practiced across many relationships over time, is the single biggest gap between people with strong bonds and people who never quite get past the surface. The second behavior is the one that actually seals it. You can open up all day long, have honest conversations, share real things, and still not build a 3-in-the-morning person if the costly part never happens. What people who track close friendships over long stretches of time find is that the bonds that survive and go deep are almost always marked by at least one moment, usually more, where someone showed up and it cost them something real. Not a big dramatic thing. Just an act that had a price, the friend who drove 40 minutes when you texted that you weren't okay. The person who called you back right away when they had every reason to be busy. The one who told you the true thing when the easy thing was to say nothing. These acts, the ones with a real price tag, are what shift a familiar person from someone you like into someone you trust. And the research on this is not quiet about it. People recall these moments in detail, years and years later, the way they recall almost nothing else about a friendship. We remember the cost. We remember who paid it. And here's what the people with strong circles do differently. They pay that cost on purpose, more often, in more relationships than average. They make the costly move before they have to. That's not personality. That's a practiced habit. That's a structure. Okay, so if that's all it takes, open up a little and show up at some cost, why doesn't everyone do it? Why are there so many people at the edge of the room watching the center if the path in is that clear? This is the question that actually matters, and I want to take it seriously. Because the gap between knowing the two behaviors and actually doing them is real, and it's not a matter of being lazy or not caring enough. Here's what gets in the way. The first block is fear of the opening not being met. You share something honest, something a little more real than usual, and the other person changes the subject or gives you a polite nothing face or suddenly has somewhere to be. That stings in a very specific way, and most people learn pretty quickly to stop making openings after a few of those, so you pull back. You stay on the surface. It's safer there. The second block is the cost math. You think about making the costly move, the drive, the call, the honest thing, and some part of you starts running numbers. What if they don't do the same for me? What if I'm the only one who pays? What if this is all one-sided? And so you wait. You wait for them to go first. They are waiting for you. The bond that could have been built quietly doesn't get built. These two things, the fear of the opening not met and the wait for them trap, are the only real walls between most people and a strong circle. They are not flaws in you. They are risk math that feels right, but costs you more than it saves. Now let me name the concern I know is forming, because it's a fair one, and it deserves a real answer. The worry isn't just about the opening not being met. It's sharper than that. What if I open up? What if I show up at cost, and the person on the other end just takes it and gives nothing back? What if I'm building a bond they never wanted? Isn't this whole go first, pay the cost advice a clean road to being used? Here's the honest answer. Yes, some people only take. They will not match your opening. They will not pay costs back. Going deep with them will wear you out the same way any one-way giving wears you out. So this is not advice to open up with everyone, to make every familiar face a project, or to give without reading the room. The two behaviors only work in a shape that goes both ways, and that means the other person has to actually be in the exchange. What the research on close bonds shows is not that you give to anyone and wait for it to come around. It's that inside relationships that are already showing signs of going both ways, where the other person also sometimes asks the real question, also sometimes shows up at a small cost. That is where you go deeper on purpose, faster, more clearly than you normally would. The people with strong circles are not giving blindly to everyone. They read the signs. They're careful about where they invest. And inside those relationships, they go all the way in. Let me show you what this actually looks like, because the behaviors alone don't mean much until you see them inside a real story. Rosa is 43. She moved to a new city for a job about 2 years before the events of this story. She had what most people would call a fine social life. She knew people at work. She went to things when invited. She had a few contacts she liked. But she had no one. She'd call at 3 in the morning. No one who would drive. She was firmly at the edge of every room she was in. The loneliness wasn't big or dramatic. It was steady, quiet, and slightly embarrassing to admit out loud. So she made one change. Not a personality overhaul, not be more outgoing. Just one thing, she decided to go one notch deeper, on purpose, with three specific people she was already near and already liked. With each one, she asked the real question instead of the easy one. She said something honest and let there be a pause. She waited to see if they came back. Two of the three came back. With those two, she kept going. A bit more honest each time, and she showed up once at a cost for each of them before the year was out. She drove the 40 minutes. She said the true thing. At 18 months from that one decision, Rosa had two people who would come for her in the dark. She was standing in the center of a different room. She did not change who she was. She changed what she kept doing. The structure, not the person, all the way down. Here's the moment I want you to sit with. Think of the one relationship in your life, the one you have now, or the one you remember, that came closest to the three in the morning kind. Not perfect. Maybe you've drifted. Maybe the distance got hard. Maybe it's a sibling or an old friend you haven't talked to in a year. Think of that one person. Now trace back how it actually got there. I'll bet you find it. The opening that got met. The time one of you said something real, and the other one came back with something real too. The costly act. The visit nobody had to make. The call that happened anyway. The honest thing said when nothing was the easy road. You've done this. You have built this shape before, at least once, maybe without knowing that's what you were doing. The gap between you and the people in the center of the room is not that they have something you were born without. It's that they do those two things more often, with more people, more on purpose. That's all. You already have the recipe, because you've already cooked it once. The only question is whether you pick it up and use it again. So here's what this week looks like, and I'm keeping it small on purpose, because this is the kind of thing that gets done when it's specific and simple, not big and vague. Pick one person, not a list, not a project, not everyone at once. One person you're already near, already like, and who has shown you at least once that they can go both ways. With that person this week, give one thing, not a test, not a score, not watching to see if they pay you back, a give. Ask them the real question instead of the easy one. Make the call you keep almost making. Say the honest thing you've been smoothing over. Show up once in a way that costs you something small. One notch, one give, one person. That's the whole thing. You don't have to announce what you're doing. You just make one small opening and wait, or you make one small costly move and pay attention to what comes back. What you're looking for is not a perfect result. You're looking for the small signal, the question met with a real question, the cost noticed and someday returned. Those signals are the data. They tell you where your jar is actually going to fill. And if this week you can think of someone who needs something right now, someone who hasn't asked but you already know, give it anyway. That's where every strong circle ever built started. One person, one give. So here's where we end, and I want to close the whole show's argument cleanly. We started at the very beginning with a simple claim: your loneliness isn't a you problem, it's a structure problem. And episode by episode, we followed that claim wherever it led. Into why the structure broke in the first place. The forces that pulled people apart without any one person deciding to leave. Into what's actually in the way. Not the wrong people around you, but the wrong patterns of contact, the missing loop, the habit that never got built. Into what proximity and regular contact do. How you build the warm outer ring from scratch, which is where everything starts. And here, at the end, into what takes one of those familiar people and makes them the few. It's self-disclosure, traded back and forth, going a little deeper each time. It's the costly act that shifts a person from liked to trusted. These are not gifts some people got and others didn't. They are structures. They are habits. And a habit, at any age, in any life, in any city, is something you can build on purpose. So if you leave this show believing one thing, it was never you. It was always the structure. And a structure is something you get to rebuild. Thank you for thinking this through with me, watched over, as always, by Daisy.